Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Just before Christmas, we saw the release of the Caddick Report into New Zealand On Air's music funding strategies. The report was critical of New Zealand On Air's narrow focus on commercial radio music, suggesting it should take a more diverse outlook. Producer Tom Watts sat down with New Zealand On Air's Jane Wrightson and Shehad's Tom Larkin to discuss the report.
As someone who's played music in various guises over the years, New Zealand On Air has always been something of a funding puzzle that I never quite understood. The first song I submitted for funding at the tender age of 15, entitled Peter the Pedophile, was rejected. Looking back, this was obviously A, because it was an atrocious piece of crass post-pubescent angst rock, and B, because it didn't fit in with New Zealand On Air's funding strategy, which was focused almost specifically around getting music on commercial radio. So with a new report suggesting New Zealand On Air reassess their music funding allocations, I figured this would be a good time to talk to NZ On Air CEO Jane Wrightson about how the system works. Let's start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. New Zealand On Air is a relatively interesting body in the sense that not many other countries have an organisation that funds local content. Is that right?
Nobody has a New Zealand On Air.
Well, but in terms of the kind
or even
of
a version
thing.
Of it. It was set up in 1989 as part of the deregulation of broadcasting, and it is unusual in the sense that no other country has a large pool of public funding available for broadcasting per se, and what's more, contestable broadcasting. We run a number of schemes ranging from dedicated funds like Radio New Zealand right through to fully contestable funding for things like programs for commercial radio and television and indeed for music funding.
Mm-hmm. And so what currently exists in terms of music funding? We've got there's music video funding?
The music budget's a little over $5 million a year, and that's split into both content funding and music promotion. Content funding is albums, music videos, and new recording artist grants. And promotion is to do with trying to get more public awareness of New Zealand music, and particularly New Zealand music, and an impetus on commercial radio to play more.
Now, where we are now is we've had Chris Caddick's report into New Zealand Air's funding or domestic funding strategy. What prompted this report? And what did that process involve?
It was a big one. We knew there was a number of people very passionately interested in how music funding should be allocated in this country. People have got strong opinions, they're very passionate, they're often very knowledgeable, and they're often diametrically opposed. So it wasn't just a matter of some bureaucrats sitting in a room going, right, well, the answers are simple. We wanted to do a major consultation exercise, and it actually take us out of the frame. So we employed Chris Caddick to interview 100 industry people, ranging from emerging artists through to broadcasters, through to music video makers, through to bureaucrats, you know, anybody who had some knowledge of the sector who we knew would have a view. And on top of that, we made available an online survey for anybody in the public to also respond, and they could be unsuccessful applicants, they could be people who just had an interest, didn't really matter. We got another 655 inputs from that. So we're looking at 750 New Zealanders who've bothered to tell us what's right and what's wrong with the schemes. Chris's marvellous job was to try and distill that into a coherent way that might suggest to us the way to go forward.
Were there any findings in the report that you weren't actually expecting?
Not really, and that's a good thing, isn't it? While you don't expect reviews to be entirely what you'd write yourself, neither should they throw up enormous surprises, because if they did, it would mean that we weren't observing our industry and our environment and responding to it well enough. I think what surprised me was the level of agreement on the notion of the increased diversity of content. Really interesting that.
With money tight through the entire music industry, some corners have argued that NZ On Air's financial support of particular artists has been a bit of a waste of money. The May 2010 issue of Real Groove highlighted how several artists effectively cost the taxpayer about $140 per physical album sold. Now, one person who's been involved on both sides of this conversation is producer, manager, and music industry veteran Tom Larkin from New Zealand's favourite pseudo-heritage rock act, Shehad. Now, is it correct that Shehad have received more New Zealand On Air funding than any other band in New Zealand? Is that right?
As far as I'm aware, yeah, that sounds about right.
But you're not one of the bands that gets criticised when people are having a go at New Zealand On Air. I mean, why is that?
I think because, you know, there's been enough runs on the board, and because the band has kind of sustained itself, and in some ways, I suppose, an example of the model working. And I think that, that probably means that, you know, people who are agitating for change in the New Zealand Air model probably don't want to bring up the example of Shewhart as, because it's seen as more of a example of the model that New Zealand on air had actually being somewhat successful. But I mean, you know, it's with any model you're going to find failures and successes, and I think one of the big things that people fail to realise about New Zealand on air is that they're engaged in the music industry, and statistics of success in the music industry are frighteningly low. In the United States, 5% of all bands that are ever signed to a record deal actually make a return on investment. So, you know, the kind of realistic kind of goal for New Zealand on air to, you know, kind of follow is really 5% of all videos and albums that they fund, if they're successful, then they're matching the industry.
So, I mean, do you think that you'd be as successful without New Zealand on air?
We're really grateful for the help that we've received off New Zealand on air, and I think that there's certain opportunities and certain things that have happened for us that were critical with New Zealand on air funding. But I also think that the other side of Shewhart, and the thing to remember about the band itself, is that, you know, we're pretty determined four people, and had New Zealand on air, and I always remember, I go back to the point before New Zealand on air existed and Creative New Zealand was around, and the similar arguments used to come up about Creative New Zealand's funding back in like 1988-89. Back in those days, we just kind of went, well, this is a futile discussion to be involved in. We want to play music. Who cares who funds it? We're just going to get on with it. You know, that's kind of the case now, that, you know, no matter what New Zealand on air turns into, or the new changes that Kadok have kind of earmarked to happen, I think that if you're serious about being involved in music, you need to be determined, and whether or not you're funded shouldn't matter. And so I think that any artist who actually has that determination in the first place and doesn't initially care about whether funding drives their career or not are the perfect recipients of funding.
I mean, you would have seen quite a few artists coming over to Australia. I mean, have you noticed a difference between the ones that have kind of moved on their own bat and the ones that are travelling off the back of New Zealand on air grants?
I don't think that there's, you know, there's not, I don't think that there's a band that's insofar travels off New Zealand on air grants. I think that people who actually make and sustain an effort overseas tend to be the kind of people who, as I mentioned before, who are the right recipients of grants but don't necessarily need it to make their thing work. You turn up overseas with or without funding. I mean, the Datsuns were a really good example of that, you know, and likewise, things like Naked and Famous are an example of it working the other way, which is they have been funded and they have been supported and they're making it work overseas, whereas things like the Datsuns, where they weren't supported and weren't funded, it wasn't until overseas recognised them that it made it work. But in both cases, you're talking about determined musicians who want to make it happen anyways, you know. And I think that that's really where New Zealand on Air's value comes in, is that they offer support for artists who are trying to sustain a longer-term career. They have somewhere to go where they can go and pick up funding for things that they couldn't otherwise pay for. And that helps accelerate their careers. It helps accelerate their impact on the music community and music fans in general. And then further to that, the public. And I think New Zealand on Air has helped that situation far more than, you know, I think some people make it out to hinder it. And the other thing I think to remember about New Zealand on Air is that New Zealand on Air are essentially an economic incentive rather than an artistic one. And the thing I think people need to remember is that the entire music industry is the same way. There's very few acts, you know, that major labels, in fact, and a lot of labels will actually work with long-term that don't deliver economically. And, you know, I think that there's a great many artists out there who are brilliant. And some of my favorite bands in the world are regarded as persona non grata by the music industry because they don't have economic value. And I think that trying to ask New Zealand on air to behave in a way that the music industry, by and large, does not in of itself is disregarding what kind of game New Zealand on air is involved in the first place. It's the music business. It's a business. And it's a really risky one. And it's a really, it's one that doesn't have the normal kind of economic staples of supply and demand and price and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't work with the music industry.
So with all these things in mind, Which are the easy bits to implement from the Caddick report?
None of it's easy, because we know that we're in a wider environment of no more money. This is a wider government environment, so that even if the government wanted to give us some extra money, they couldn't. All the ministers have got terribly hard choices at the moment, and we will have to manage with our own, within our own resources, which is fine, we can do that. So what we also said when we released the Caddick report in December is that we will abolish the album funding scheme. And that's not because there's anything particularly wrong with the scheme. It's because that's where the larger chunks of money are. And if we need to increase our diversity and increase the number of funded artists, then that's the pool from which we'll take it.
Cool.
So we will introduce a new funding scheme from July. I can't tell you the detail around that yet, but I can tell you that there will be more artists funded, there will be more diverse artists funded, but it won't be any easier to get through the gate. It might be slightly harder.
And that's Tom Watt speaking to New Zealand On Air's Jane Wrightson and She Hard's Tom Larkin. After the break, Snapper and TVNZ's new channel, You.